Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, our crucified Savior. Amen. Over time, wounds heal. They get better. Maybe only a scar remains. But wounds do not actively heal. That is, your wounds do not bring healing to somebody else. You may be wounded, such as in surgery, in order to give you better healing. But those wounds will not make anyone else better. Even knowing all of these things, the prophet Isaiah was guided to write these words, "With his wounds we are healed." Isaiah was able to prophesy about the coming Christ, though he knew not how the Christ would be wounded. But as a true prophet, Isaiah knew what kind of healing was needed from the Christ. It was not bodily healing, but spiritual healing. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The Christ would come, and he would be wounded for our sins. Sin is the great crisis for all mankind that continues on, no matter what comes and goes. And Isaiah knew it. And sin, rightfully understood, is not just an injury here or there that needs stitching. Rightly grasped, sin infects the entire person. The comparison would be like having every pore of your body gushing forth with blood. It would not be one illness alone that you would have to deal with. It would be all of them all the time. And not just one broken bone slowing you down, but every single bone crushed to dust. This is our whole state as sinners. Every bit of us is a sinner rebellious against our Maker. Sin and its reward, death, that is our wound, in desperate need of healing. And as such poor, miserable sinners, you and I deserve everything that is coming to us. Every wound that we suffer has been rightfully earned by our own sins of thought, of word, of deed. You and I should receive the wounds that our Lord suffered. We have earned those wounds of denial and of betrayal, of apathy and of abandonment, as we have heard throughout this Lenten season, and mockery at our attempts to be like God. Though that is our just reward. So as we turn to the cross and remember this day, our Lord's crucifixion, you and I do truly need to admit that it is we who deserve the cross. What thou, my Lord, hast suffered was all for sinners' gain. Mine, was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Lo, here I fall, my Savior, 'tis I deserve thy place. Look on me with thy favor, and grant to me thy grace. 'Tis I deserve thy place. You and I deserved what Jesus got. And yet he took it for you. He bore all of your sin to the cross. Every little sin, every huge sin, and all in between. None were too small for him to notice, none too big for him to carry. All were in need of his sacred wounds. All sin needed the blood of the perfect Lamb of God to cleanse it. And the blood of the Lamb of God is what sin got. sweat as of drops of blood, dripped forth from Jesus during his prayers the night before his death. Blood spilled out of the wounds ripped open by that tortuous whip. Death-worthy pain was felt with every attempt to breathe. While Jesus hung suspended on the cross, pushed down on the nailed feet, pull up with the nailed hands, breathe, drop, repeat. Such a horrible way to die. And it was a terrible scene on that hill outside of Jerusalem. And yet it is what the payment of sin demanded. It could not be an easy death. It must be gruesome. It must be painful. It must be bloody. For shedding of blood equals the forgiveness of sins, God says in Hebrews 9. The wounds of Jesus had to be many, and they had to be deep. They had to hurt. For you and for me, to remind us, to remember, make us remember the cost of our sinfulness, and to make us hate who we are as sinners, what we do as sinners. Not pleasant at all. And yet it is what Jesus came to do, to suffer and to die, to be crushed for our iniquities, to be pierced for our transgressions, to be stricken by God, smitten by Him, and afflicted. What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end? O, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love for thee. Words are not enough. Platitudes are not enough. The world's riches and the world's treasures are not enough. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a tribute far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Is that what you and I give back to the Lord? Do we give Him our all? Quick reflection tells us no. And so back to our sorrow, we fall. And the devil is right there to lead the way. He wants you to drown again and again in that sorrow. He presses in on you from every direction, with every accusation. And he encourages you to revisit all of those dark and sinful moments from your past, making you doubt that they are forgiven, that God could ever forget them. In Jesus, dig them up, relive them, and fear. Yes, Jesus died for you, but not so that you could keep on sinning. You are mine, Satan says, with every sin you do. So what to do? Not you. What does God do? He trains you. He guides you. God the Father Almighty, He steers you once more to His Son. Behold the cross anew. See the crucifix, the mangled body of Jesus. Look to Jesus every time Satan attacks you. For the cross is not meant to drag you through the mud of your past. It is not meant for you to be mired in your guilt. Rather, the cross, the remembrance of this day, of Good Friday, it puts front and center in your heart and in your mind exactly whose you are. You belong to Jesus. The mark of the cross is upon your forehead. For baptism has sealed you as God's own child forevermore. And nothing can change that. No one can take that away from you. Satan's words to you are lies. You no longer have just the old man in you. You have the new man. You have Christ Himself within you. And He is the one that the devil can never beat. Christ Jesus' death upon the tree of the cross, it prepares us then for our own coming deaths. They may be quick and painless, or they may be drawn out and they may be miserable, but our death will not last. Our dying will come to an end. Your suffering, your sin, your dying and your death, it will all be over. They will be in your past. But your life, you will continue on forever. Why? Because you have been healed by the wounds of Jesus. Your entire sinful nature has been cleansed, and you are fully redeemed as God's own dear child. Christ's righteousness, his holiness, his purity, it is all yours. That is how God sees you. It's not wishful thinking, it is the truth. He does not see you in sin, but he sees you in Jesus, and all because of Jesus' death upon the cross. His are the wounds that heal. His is the blood that cleanses. A college student once asked her Christian friend why he wore a cross around his neck. As a reminder of the way a person died, that student said she would never wear a small knife or a gun around her neck if that is how her own loved one had died. But truly, the cross has that way with people, and rightfully so. It is foolishness to Greeks, and it is an offense to the Jews, as Paul says. And to see Jesus there upon the cross is even more upsetting. And sadly, many churches have removed those reminders of their salvation, of their redemption from their presence. And as difficult as it may be to behold, as the means of our redemption, of our righteousness, it certainly serves as the foil to the tempter's power and as sweet comfort to those who trust in the very Savior who died for them. With sins forgiven, all wounds healed, true peace settles in. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. For Jesus Christ and him crucified, he is your salvation. And by his holy wounds, you are healed. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.